This is Alicia Ruverall of the Southern Oral History Program, and I'll be interviewing Steve Chalmers of the Police Department in Durham, North Carolina. And today's date is February 24th, 1999, and this is my tape number 22499 SC.1. This is the New Immigrants Project and part of Listening for a Change. Okay, maybe we could start actually with your work here at the police department, Captain Chalmers, in Northeast Central Durham, both with the Latino and the African American communities there.
Okay, well, my role on or about, I guess, 1991, mm-hmm. 1992 involved community policing. Mm-hmm. I was actually assigned to the Community Policing Division of the Police Department, primarily to create a community policing initiative for the city of Durham. Northeast Central Durham was identified as, I guess, the most devastated area in the city of Durham as it relates not only to crime, but also to all of the different elements and ingredients, I think, that allow crime to breed in inner city neighborhoods. So we decided to target Northeast Central Durham as the area to develop and test a community policing initiative, and we call that initiative Partners Against Crime. So was, I guess, born the Northeast Central Durham Partners Against Crime, again, which was designed to be a model for community policing in the city of Durham. That actually started around November 1992 through the efforts of the city of Durham government to include the police department as well as community residents from Northeast Central Durham. We facilitated a meeting. Initially, we had about 50 residents from different neighborhoods to come out. And one thing that we wanted to do was to look at Northeast Central Durham and try to determine how it got to where it was. And from once a viable community with strong support from community, strong support from government, and basically what happened and how to actually reverse that and to make it, again, a viable community and productive and for the community as well as for the city in general. And that was what that meeting, you know, just began planning and looking at what was going on, and also to commit to the community to actually provide the necessary services and commitment that it would take to reverse that trend and get it back to where it was. There was some skepticism, I think, initially with that, but at the same time, there was some there from the community to recognize this as an opportunity to actually reclaim their neighborhoods. And even the ones that seemed to be skeptics at the time agreed to go along with it and they had to do what they felt they could do, but then take a wait-and-see attitude and see how things worked out. But the one thing, well, there were a couple of things that we promised at that meeting that we felt that was necessary in order to get the community involved and also to work towards that end. And that was, first of all, that the community be empowered. And we had gotten a commitment from the city manager at that time, who was Orval Powell, that the community would be empowered to make critical decisions as it relates to what's needed in the community and exactly how different city departments would budget and provide services to that community. We decided to move ahead with that empowerment model. Over a period of time, the community basically was organized. We conducted needs assessments with the community. Different city department heads came before the community and talked about their plans and what was they were looking at as far as implementing new projects and improvements in the communities. The community was allowed to give some feedback, and actually change plans that had already been developed and when actually some were already being in the process of being implemented because they didn't feel that was what their neighborhoods needed and that was certainly not what they wanted. So that was the first test of empowerment. And with some reluctance and some hesitancy from different department heads, we were able to exercise that empowerment with the assistance of the city manager. So, again, things began to happen within those communities. They were organized. Along with the empowerment, we looked to bring about collaboration among all service providers in the community to come together in a joint effort to look at what's going on in Northeast Central Durham. To bring together like organizations and agencies with the same mission to kind of come to the table and share resources and work together as opposed to separately, separately within the communities and try to do away with turf issues and things like that. So that in itself also was a task, but we were able to bring, I think over a period of the next 8 to 10 months, probably over 50 different agencies and organizations together to work together collectively within Northeast Central Durham to include Duke and North Carolina Central Universities. We probably had a dozen churches or more that were involved, city and county government, again, public schools and nonprofits and things. So, and again, basically what we ended up doing was to try to create a totally new service delivery model and to determine this is the way services will be provided to the community in the future. So what we actually, instead of going, we went, beyond community policing to community-oriented governance, where we had total governments now changing the way that they provide services to the community through an empowerment model. And what we had actually found was the fact that these once viable communities involved, first of all, in many cases, you had multi-generational communities where you had people who had been in the community long who actually responsible for the stability of those communities over a long period of time, and being able to pass the the leadership on to down to the next generation, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, and somewhere that stopped, and now the leaders were really the older people in the community, and that leadership had not continued to be handed down. The communities were more transient. Now there had been a lot of flight from both by blacks and whites. So your inner city communities like Northeast Central Durham now had a few older people who had just committed to stay and live their life out in these communities. And then you had a drop down to very, very young residents in the community, a lot of single parent, female head of household, again, communities with high dropout, high unemployment. And at the same time, the empowerment had left and government had started now to take in the leadership role as far as to deciding what services the community needed and how it would be served and so forth and so on. And a lot of times what we found is that instead of investing in the community, a lot of resources were being divested from the community. So, I mean, and over a period of time, it just actually sank, you know, into the, you know, the devastated conditions that we found when we went back into Northeast Central Durham to kind of take a real, real close and critical look at it. So again, we had the commitment to begin to reinvest, and the thing that we had to do was really get the community up and to support and actively become involved in the communities. And again, Northeast Central Durham has proven to be an effective model of community empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that our government operates right now has proven to be a good model for community-oriented governance.
Hmm.
And we have a city manager now, Mr. Ewell, who actually is a strong advocate of community-oriented governance. And as a matter of fact, that was his style that he came here with. And again, interestingly enough, that was basically what we were involved in. So it was
right.
It was almost like a perfect marriage with he being selected as the city manager for the city of Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have representatives from all city departments that actually work hand-in-hand with the community. They attend community meetings to hear firsthand from the community what they want as relates to their different departments. And basically, they work to fulfill the community's needs through going back and developing plans and to actually mirror what the community is looking for. Again, we've seen a lot of change in the communities, especially with communities like Northeast Central Durham, which seems to be I think perfect communities for the Latino community residents who are actually coming into this city in numbers like, you know, we never really expected initially. And again, I think due to the makeup of the community, the opportunity to get low cost rental property has proven to be good in one hand and bad on the other hand, because in many conditions, when you start to look at low cost, you start to look at low quality, you start to look at opportunities for landlords to take advantage of people who may not have means, people who are not that familiar with how to go about to assess better services and demand services that they should be getting, you know, anyway. So we've seen a lot of that take place in Northeast Central Durham. Some of the problems we have, you know, we initially was basically, you know, first of all, how do we bring the Latino community to the table? There was some reluctance there. There was, I guess, a lack of trust also and awareness as to exactly what was going on in Northeast Central Durham. And we had to work on that aspect of it. We began to look at the problem with Latino victimization. And as far as them being easy targets for the would-be robber, quick money, due to some cultural differences that community possessed as far as banks and different things like that. So those who would actually take advantage of these opportunities were quick to do so, not only from the landlords, but also just from the people who, the criminal element within that community. And that was a problem again, because now we had to not only look at just service delivery in general, but specifically the way the police would provide services to the community, and how to actually overcome some of the barriers as it relates to communication, how it as it relates to trust, and different things like that. So we began to look at, you know, that particular aspect of the problem. So it was a lot of different things, even though we were moving ahead and making a lot of headway in some ways. As we began to look at the new residents within the city of Durham, we had to kind of come back to the table, because traditional means of providing services were not working with these residents in this community. So we had to. So all of a sudden, we began also to see that now this was being billed as a racial problem in the community, blacks versus Hispanics, and different things like that. which really we didn't see it so much as a lot of racial problems. We looked at it as relates to some cultural problems that we had, some differences that we were having to overcome, that that it wasn't necessarily blacks versus Hispanics or Hispanics versus blacks. It was just that, you know, you now have a coming together of two different groups who basically have not been, you know, been educated on, you know, the differences and what they need to do to kind of come in and live together peacefully within communities. So all of these things were things that were brought to the table with the city manager. And what we had to do then was to start looking at how to develop a comprehensive plan to address across the board problems and concerns that exist within these communities, especially as it relates to the Hispanic community. Out of that came a task force to actually investigate the crimes committed against the Hispanics, which included members from our criminal investigations division. We had one Hispanic officer that was assigned to work with that particular group to work as to bridge the gap as relates to communication and also trust that we could get in the community and work with the community. We began to, we did a lot of things. We wrote a grant to actually, which was called HOIST, H-O-I-S-T, Hispanic Outreach and Intervention Strategy Team, where we actually were able to hire two either bilingual or Hispanic employees to work within the police department to work specifically with victims of crimes to educate them on what they needed to do as far as the investigative stage, the court stage, and what to expect as far as restitution, the whole nine yards, and they're educating them on things that are their rights and basically how the system worked. And that particular grant was funded. We were able to do that. We began to facilitate community meetings within the Hispanic communities and identifying leadership within the communities, create liaisons with the Hispanic Center and different organizations, the newspapers, and things like that to continue to get information out. Through the efforts of our crime prevention, to include Eric Hester, crime prevention officers began to do a lot of educational programs, neighborhood watch programs within the areas. We had festivals within the Hispanic communities and to bring them out and, again, to get them more involved in crime prevention and community policing and things like that. A push was made to hire more Hispanic officers and Spanish-speaking officers, not just in the police department, but in all aspects of city government. Because, I mean, if you come in, you have questions about your water,
right?
You know, your water bill or something like that. You know, you have to feel comfortable in coming in and knowing that there will be someone there that could be able to communicate with you and help you to understand. So all of these things were things that were starting to happen because we realized that there were a lot of cultural differences and things that we really had to address before we could effectively provide services to that community. And like I'm saying, the traditional means of just saying, yeah, the services are here, you just have to come to the services. We had to basically go to the community a little more and you know, begin to involve them.
Sounds great. Couple things I wanted to follow up on. Actually, I still want to double check. Is that's the air conditioning I'm hearing, right?
Yeah.
Or there's nothing I can do about it then. I wasn't sure if it was a fan. We'll be okay, I think, if I keep the microphone close to you. So with this model that you all have set up, did PACs exist elsewhere in other cities? I mean, did you all look outside to try to get a sense of how to handle the situation, or did you all, between the city manager you know, having done work, it sounds like it was similar to this. Was that some of the impetus for this alternative approach?
Well, what
did you get models elsewhere?
We really didn't look at any other models mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. We knew of some things that existed in other communities and other cities, but we knew that what we wanted to create for the city of Durham far exceeded mm-hmm. what we knew existed in the other places. And so what we tried to do was develop something that was different and something that would be specifically mm-hmm. for Durham and meet mm-hmm. Durham's needs. Mm-hmm. And again, with the PACs and the empowerment and bringing the government, mm-hmm. the strong involvement in government and communities working together, as well as all other service providers mm-hmm. and agencies and organizations, is something a lot of communities have stayed away from mm-hmm. because of the bureaucracy, because of the red tape, and because of the turfism that existed mm-hmm. When you began to look at bringing different groups and organizations together mm-hmm. to collaborate. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we got the support from the top. We had the mayor the time who committed to actually adopting that particular initiative as her own. Initially going in, we had a mayor who was really on his way out. That was Harry Rodenheiser. Mm-hmm. And he was actually on his way out, and we got a new mayor later, Sylvia Kirchhoff. Mm-hmm. And Mayor Kirchhoff, she really adopted this and helped us to fight a lot of battles and overcome a lot of resistance from different agencies and organizations that really didn't want to come to the table.
Well, you had mentioned that about skepticism, and I wondered if that was on the part of any, you know, Northeast Central Durham community members or some of these organizations, the agencies that you were trying to bring to the table.
Well, on both, really. From the community, one of the things that we understood and we expected as far as the skepticism was concerned was because they had seen initiatives like this come and go. And as you said earlier, you know, these are communities that have been studied to death, and they've been used to death as far as different agencies and organizations getting funding and resources and things like that. And many times they have fallen short from as it relates to benefiting from a lot of these initiatives. So again, here we are again. Saying we want your, you know, we want your trust, we want your support, we want to do this, we want to do that, and they're saying, yeah, okay, we you know, we've been there, we've done that, you know, and,
right.
and we're no better
right.
for it. Again, we knew that would be something that we would be up against mm-hmm. when we went. So, and again, with the different agencies and organizations, again, you had the turf issues,
right.
you know. This is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. We know what we're supposed to be doing, and we don't need anyone else coming in and, mm-hmm. and you know, telling us how we need to do it or whatever and things like that. And one of the things that we had to do was to assure them that, first of all, you're not going to lose any autonomy as it relates to your, you know, no one's looking to take control of your agency mm-hmm. organization. The only thing we're saying is, let's come together. Let's collaborate with those who are out there doing some of the same things. If you're a youth organization, a lot of youth organizations that are duplicating services in the community, okay, as opposed to duplicating, let's come together and look at what's being provided by each, and basically let's take advantage of all our resources mm-hmm. so we'd be more efficient in mm-hmm. serving more people as opposed to just continue mm-hmm. to do the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. And, again, we had a lot who embraced it.
Yeah.
Right, you know, say it's a very good idea. That's something we've been needing. So, really, this was a means, again, of just bringing resources together under one umbrella.
Right.
As opposed to three dozen.
Sort of a scattershot approach.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, basically, when you go into a community, you have a plan mm-hmm. to totally stabilize a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to be doing it. You have your police, you've got your youth organizations, mm-hmm. you have your universities, you have your churches, mm-hmm. You have other nonprofits. And so you basically have your health-related organizations coming together to, you know, you have organizations come in to look at unemployment, mm-hmm. education, the teenage pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're actually bringing a total program or plan to a community that can stabilize it. law enforcement can stabilize the community. You can go in there. You can basically blanket the community with police officers. But as long as you leave the social and economic problems to continue to fester and grow in the community, the only thing you're going to be assured of the fact that you're going to need more and more police.
Right.
To try to police the community. So what this effort was to actually get to the root causes of the problem in the community, at the same time continue to strongly police the community and through a community policing effort, but at the same time to do away with the root causes and then come back in and invest the things in the community that's necessary to return it to its viable state. And that was the plan. That really was the plan for Northeast Central Durham. The Eastway School was one of the things that we were able to bring about through the community policing efforts, through the empowerment of the community. You had two elementary schools within that Northeast Central Durham area that were being closed. The plan was to build a new elementary school, but the plan was to build it outside of Northeast Central Durham. Again, divesting. Again, an anchor,
right?
You know, two anchors that had long existed in the community. Now it would be non-existent, and instead of putting something else in there to help to maintain stability, we're going to put it. The inner city community is too crime ridden. There's not enough support in the community. This and that. All the reasons in the world to put it somewhere else. So we brought the community together again, and they demanded that school be placed there. They assured the school board that the support would be there. We assured the school board that certainly we would reduce the crime, that we had plans in place, and through the community policing efforts and with government's involvement and school systems and everything, we'll make it a safe place for the school to exist. So we were able to actually facilitate the building of a $9.3 million facility in that community that we met at the other evening. So these are the kind of things that had to take place in order to save that community. And we are continuing to invest back into Northeast Central Durham. And the community support is strong there. Some of the meetings would not in themselves kind of illustrate the type of support that's in Northeast Central Durham. And that leadership there has changed, over a period of time, too. And we still have to kind of stay in there with the community and not just leave them to fight this battle on their own. So we got to maintain some support also with the community as far as helping to provide leadership and making certain that they have the necessary support.
Right, which means sort of sustained involvement,
I think, which
is probably hard sometimes justify the need for it and that kind of thing. When you were talking before about the decline of Northeast Central Durham and some of the factors and what had made it less viable, I've done some reading about, the mills moving out
and
that kind of thing.
The Golden Belt and all the different things.
Yeah, what do you think are part of the, part of the reasons behind Northeast Central Durham's decline? I realize that's a large question, but it seems kind of critical to...
Well, again, I think you touched on the blue-collar aspect of the community where you had the tobacco factories, you had the mills and textile mills, you had which provided a lot of employment opportunities and other opportunities for the folk that lived in these communities. Again, with the decline and the elimination of these types of opportunities, again, the community began to lose some of the stability, within the community. Even as it relates to businesses in general, they began to move out of the communities because the support was no longer there financially. you know, to keep them in business. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them closed, a lot of them moved, you know, from the community.
So industries that were linked to the mills, right, or in some way part of that kind of economic,
right, that
structure.
That structure, yeah, within those communities. I mean, you had the grocery little corner grocery stores. You had all, you know, the little shopping centers and different things like that where, again, had strong support from the community. And as the community began to decline, and as the financial support that began to kind of falter in the community, and said, well, you know, either we'll have to close up or we're going to have to move, you know, go somewhere else where we can actually be assured some stronger support. So what we looked at doing then was trying to see how to get these folks to start coming back into these communities. I mean, with businesses and pushing for more home ownership programs and things like that to come into the community for home ownership and things like that. Again, educational programs and more employment opportunities to get the community back on its feet. I think, again, that was a very important reason that that community ended up getting to where it was, again, because of that base. Mm-hmm. And, again, the flight, you know, when the businesses started leaving, the, you know, and the older people who held the community together began to die out and move out and things like that. You only left the up-and-coming younger generations that really had not been a part of that structure and didn't really have any idea on what they were supposed, you know, what they should be doing. Uh-huh. You know, so you had a big gap that was left in the community.
Yeah, and I've also wondered, too, about this impact of rental properties there and having fewer, you know, home ownership.
Yeah, and that began, and that basically what happened. A lot of the properties where you actually had homeowners, now they're rental property because the owners are now renting them or they're selling them to these rental companies and things like that. And with rental property comes, you know, that transit, you know, community, because, you know, there's people are moving in this week and next month they're moving out and different things like that. And the pride,
right,
as far as owning, is not there. The commitment by rental agents who live in other counties and not in the community especially is not there as far as maintaining the properties. They're more interested in what they're getting out of it as opposed to putting anything back in. So with that, certainly, over a period of time, you know, even from an environmental standpoint, you begin to go in and look at these communities and they don't even look the same, even though, you know, the same houses are there that have been there for 40, 50 years and things like that. But, you know, the pride and the again, the maintenance is just not there. So that was one of the things that we certainly had to look at when we began to develop a package, was the actual environment itself, and cleaning up and painting. And a lot of grants were written to do painting programs and home improvement kind of things for a lot of the people lived in those communities. A lot of the rental agents were brought to the table to basically explain to them the problem, as if they didn't know, and get some commitment, you know, give you an opportunity to be a partner in this thing.
How did they respond to that?
Some responded very positively, and some you get lip service and you know, a lot of rhetoric, but it's not going to go a lot beyond that. But we were able to do a lot of things through the city as far as creating an impact team that would go out and clean vacant lots and weedy lots and different things like that, and work with the PACs to do a lot of these types of activities and things like that. So we were able to do a lot of things. We were able to again, through city government, to do home ownership initiatives in Northeast Central Durham around the Eastway School and Few Gardens Public Housing Community. to identify 30 lots and or properties that could be rehabbed or new homes built for home ownership. We've been able to defeat some projects which would actually continue to facilitate the rental kind of aspect of the community, as opposed to bringing in new, you know, home ownership opportunities. So community has been very involved and committed to returning Northeast Central Durham, you know, to a community where you will feel good and proud about living and raising a family and working and so forth. And what we just decided to do is to approximately a year later, to replicate that in other areas, inner city communities within the city of Durham.
Because there are four packs.
There are four packs. Yeah. Yeah. Northeast Central Durham was the first, and now we've replicated that in the other three districts of the city, right within their inner city areas.
What are the other districts?
Well, we have four districts, one, two, three, and four.
Yeah, but
and,
what areas are they in?
And they're northeast, south, and west, really. And northeast Central Durham is really, like I said, that's northeast. And you have southwest, southeast, and northwest. And they're again denoted by districts. So and they are all up, and they're doing very well in actually. Reclaiming communities, being empowered and making decisions about the communities and things. And again, what we've actually done, again, is just to create a new service delivery model, you know, for especially city government services.
That's got to be tremendously costly in terms of, like, actually having that, you know, kind of service model, I would think. I mean, it sounds like it's a fabulous program. I wonder if it, you know, if it has it been hard in some ways to get people to get behind that because of the kind of intensive resource demand, or are people that eager to see change in these areas that they're really supportive of it?
We have not really. I think the initiative itself, as well as the model, has been very cost effective.
Right. Super.
Because really, it does not put a lot of demand. Additional demand as far as resources. Certainly any time that you begin to provide a service to a community that they begin to feel good about, they're going to demand more as opposed to when things are not going that well and the city government is making all decisions, whatever. We just sit back and we wait, and whatever they bring, we take it. But when things start to happen, They get very, very energetic. They get very aggressive, and they want more and more and more. The one good thing about what we've done is that through being able to sit down at the table with different city department representatives and to understand what resources are available, and sometimes the only thing that you are doing is actually redetermining how these resources and reprioritizing how you know your resources, and with the understanding that this is the plan, but we know we're gonna have to wait for this, and by doing that and then getting the support of the community to really maintain and support a lot of the initiatives, you don't have a lot of wasted resources. To me, it has been very, very cost effective, and long term, it's going to be more so.
Right. And it sounds like it's a targeting of those resources.
Yes.
Which
and with
sense.
Grants, being able to go out and levy grant opportunities, and because, you know, one of the things they're looking at is how involved is the community, you know, how involved is the partnership. And the more that you can show a partnership and work, not only with the community and the city government, but other agencies and organizations within the community, the more apt you are to receive funding to actually come in and assist in doing some of these things.
Right. So,
here recently, we received the Weed and Seed grant that that has provided a lot of support to Northeast Central Durham with truancy, with the Safe Haven.
And what does the Weed and Seed do? Can you tell me
Weed and
about
Seed
that?
Is actually an initiative that came out of the Bush administration.
Oh, interesting.
It's been around that long. And what it was is an initiative which was designed to address crime in inner city neighborhoods, and it's basically simple agriculture. Mm-hmm. That before that you could actually have a field that's capable of producing good crops, mm-hmm. you actually have to get rid of the weeds. You know, and so what weed and seed is actually a two-pronged approach. This is enforcement through your weeding, and then you basically have your seeding aspect where you bring all of your other service providers together to go in together and actually provide the things that are needed, the ingredients that are needed to actually bring the community back to, you know, to where it needs to be. So you actually do the policing where you go in, and policing is actually just cleaning the surface. We get rid of a lot of the visible signs of problems in the community as far as crime is concerned. But the seeding comes in, you actually get beneath the ground and you begin to look at what the root causes are, and you get rid of those bad roots. And then you come back and you reseed with education, with employment opportunities, the different things we're doing, like the Safe Haven and other types of programs that you're bringing into the community and the community support. And the policing and is still maintaining and keeping it clean while that seeding, beneath the surface seeding is being done, and give that an opportunity to grow and not be destroyed before it could actually come up. So that's kind of the philosophy of weed and seed. And we applied for weed and seed funding back in 93, but it was very competitive then, and they were only identifying maybe half dozen to a dozen communities per year for funding. Here recently, the funding has become more available to other cities, and we actually applied, and we were able to receive funding, and we're doing some very good things with the you know, the funding, and again, the things that are going on in Northeast Central Maryland is evident.
You know, it's interesting. As you talk, I'm thinking about on Native American reservations, I think they've found, which are often like really pretty economically depressed, they've found that the more that you invest in schools and health centers and all of these kinds of infrastructure, the more the economic level rises in the community. Have you found a connection, either through studies or just what you're witnessing, with the kinds of investment you've made through PAC, in Northeast Central Durham? Are you seeing, I mean, Eastway is an example of that, but are you seeing changes with all the hard work you all have put in?
We've seen changes, and we actually brought Duke University and North Carolina Central University together to kind of study and do periodic evaluations and outcome reports on Northeast Central Durham to determine exactly what was working and what was not working from a perceptual standpoint as well as from actually, you know, what is actually happening. I mean, we've seen reductions in unemployment in Northeast Central Durham. Again, we're seeing now, again, more people beginning to look at Northeast Central Durham as a viable place to do business and to have a business and things like that. Again, and more people becoming involved in the community. So homeowner opportunity, people are jumping at it, to live in Northeast Central Durham. And most folks would say, well, nobody would want to buy a house here. And these are people who are not just coming in and buying homes and not being involved. They're actually taking very, very active roles, you know, in stabilizing those communities. So, again, we've seen a tremendous change in attitudes. We've seen, I mean, a tremendous change as far as just the way people act within these communities, as far as the pride and feeling good and feeling safe within the communities.
Yeah, which makes such a huge difference. When you talked about 50 different agencies coming together to, you know, I guess, was that at that initial meeting?
No, this was basically over a period of about 8 to 10 months, but myself and Carl Washington was identified
by
the city manager's office to work with this initiative. He, at that time, he was an associate director of Parks and Recreation.
Uh-huh.
And I think Carl and I, over an 8 to 10 month period of time, made sometimes 2-3 presentations a day almost to different CEOs and just to explain this philosophy, this concept of what we want to do in Northeast Central Durham and to bring their agency or organization to the table or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And this was the way that we brought those 50 different agencies and organizations together, just going door to just going door to door with a little overhead projector, briefcase type overhead projector, some overlays and different things like that, and just giving a picture of what it was, and also getting feedback and input from these different agencies is how do you see yourself fitting in?
Exactly.
What do you think we need to do as far to make this? So they had an opportunity also to add their little parts.
Too.
So we didn't go to them with a pre-packaged and developed plan.
That's really good.
We went with a concept, with an idea, and we want to basically get your ideas on how your agency, and by being involved and having a part in it, they were able to take some ownership also. When we actually brought it together, it wasn't our initiative, it was everybody's initiative.
Right.
And that really made a difference when you had these different agencies that and what we said is that we want a representative from your agency or organization to be a part of this, not just to attend a meeting, but this needs to be part of their job.
That's great. I'm going to just quickly flip the table.